نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم Respected brothers and elders, ulama-i kiram, mothers and sisters, firstly we say, Sallu ala nabi, durood upon our beloved master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of you have heard this verse over and over, but inshallah, in our little 15-20 minutes, when I complete, you will tell me again, it will be something new to you. Allah said in the Holy Quran, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If this mighty Quran, this unique Quran, the Kalam of Allah, had it been revealed upon a mountain, it will reduce that mountain into atoms of dust because of the fear, the impact, the power and the might of the glorious Quran. This is how unique, how powerful is the Kalam of Allah. I say to myself before I say to you, we look at our heart. Has the Quran reduced the heart to atoms? Has the Quran instilled the fear in us? Has the Quran brought about a change in my eyes, in my ears, on my tongue? The Quran, if without wudu, you're not allowed to touch on the glorious Quran, is that correct? Nor are you allowed to touch on the cover of the Holy Quran, if you haven't got wudu, the juzdan or the cover. But when you remove that cover, when you take away that juzdan from the Quran, whether you have wudu, whether you need a ghusl bath, you're allowed to touch on that. Is that correct? But the moment that cover, that juzdan is associated, affiliated to the Quran, attached to the Quran, you're not allowed to touch that cover. What is this? The nisbat of the Quran. Even that cover, you're not allowed to touch on it. But when you remove that cover, you remove the juzdan, you keep it separate, then you're allowed to touch it, whether you have wudu or not. What is the difference? The sharf, the dignity, the glory that Allah accorded to the nisbat of the Quran. As long as that cover is with the Quran, the nisbat, the status, the rank of that Quran is different. The cover. When you remove the cover, the rank drops. Now we can imagine that Allah bestowed and blessed the Quran upon insan, upon mu'min. He carries the Quran in his heart. What is the sharaf, the rank and the dignity of that Muslim? Inna aradana amanata ala samawati wal ard. Allah said when we presented this amana, this mighty amana to the heavens, to the earth, to the ocean, فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا The ocean refused, the mountain refused. Why? The amanat, the trust, the impact, the power of the Quran is too mighty, they refuse. Allah Rabbul Izzah did not offer this Quran to insan. Allah did not offer the Quran to mu'min. Is that correct? Because the Quran said, إِنَّا أَرَضَنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ But Allah did not offer the Quran to insan, nor to mu'min. But what happened? Man ran forward and he grabbed the Quran. He said, Allah, give me the amanat. I will take the amanat. Why? This shows you that insan has the unique quality of muhabbat for Allah Rabbul Izzah. The fitrah, the inherent quality of a mu'min is the muhabbat and the love for Allah Rabbul Izzah. What does man say, Allah, I will take this amanah, knowing full well that I am weak, I am feeble, I will not be able to fulfill the task of the amanah. But Allah, the most that you would do to me is like what a father will do to a little child when he commits a wrong, puts him over the lap and he gives him a couple of shots. Is that correct? This is our relation with Allah Rabbul Izzat, our nisbat, our connection with Allah is one of muhabba, one of love, one of compassion. Therefore, Allah in His kindness bestowed insan, bestowed mu'min with this unique quality of the Quran. Is that correct? So what we said, the nisbat of the Quran. Now I say to myself and I say to you, do we thank Allah Rabbul Izzat for this unique and this mubarak, this blessed gift of the Quran? Do we make qadr? Do we value this Quran? Do we appreciate the Quran? Now, let us come back to this. We said that if this Quran had to be revealed upon the mountain, it will reduce the mountain into atoms and dust. Now if you look, the mountain being so powerful, being such a mighty creation of Allah, because of the khashyat and the fear of Allah, what do you find? Many a times you find rocks, they fall down the mountain. What is this? It is because of the khashyat and the fear of Allah. But insan, man, hafidhul Quran, ulama-i kiram, look at my actions, look at our deeds, look at our speech, look at our dealings. Did that Quran change the heart? Did the Quran inspire us? Did the Quran create the khashyat in our heart? Is there a change in my eyes? Is there a change in my ears? Why? In order for the Quran to take effect, in order for myself and you to benefit from the glorious Quran, it is important that the heart and the mind must be clear of any evil thoughts, any doubt of the Quran, anything that is hindering the rahmah and the mercy of Allah, the heart must be clean. And when that is clear, then you will find that the tajalli and that nur of the Quran will manifest through your eyes, your ears, your tongue. We are here to learn, not to condemn anybody. Many a times you say to yourself, Ya Allah, that particular boy is a hafiz of Quran. Allah, look at the things that he's doing. Look how he speaks, look how he dresses. We go back to the drawing board and it will tell us, as long as the heart and the mind is clear. A wali of Allah was traveling, going for Hajj. Whilst on Hajj, in those days they would travel on foot and months it would take them. The caravan was waylaid, it was attacked by highway robbers. And as they attacked this caravan, they started plunging, stealing, abusing the people. This wali of Allah stood up and he said to the Amir, are you not scared that on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will question you? How dare have you got the courage to commit such great dhulam, act of injustice? This villager, in his lifetime, did not understand anything and he said to him, well, the way I look at it, this is how Allah made my rizq, halal and tayyib. I know no other way of life, robbing and stealing. So this wali of Allah said that you are laya anta kathib. So he got a shock. He said, Allah said in the Holy Quran, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Every insan, every human being, be you a mu'min, be you a non-Muslim, your rizq, your sustenance, it's all kept in the heavens. Whatever Allah Rabbul Izzat promise, every grain of food, every morsel of food, every drop of water is kept in the heavens. And from time to time, Allah will send it down and Allah will provide it until your lifespan come to an end. In his lifetime, he did not hear Quran, but the mind and heart was clean and he got a shock. The impact of those verses created such fear that he collapsed, he became unconscious. When he gained consciousness, this wali of Allah told him, it is time now that you repent. He made tawbah and repentance. From that point onwards till the holy Kaaba, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ was on his tongue. When he got to the holy Kaaba and embraced the cloth of the Kaaba, these words flowed and he passed away in this way. What is this? The heart and the mind is clear. Many years ago, a British team from Britain went to India to do an assignment or a project. It was a TV crew. So when they go to a certain village, they set up the cameras and it just happens so that if you go back a few years, you look at the muezzins in India, not paid well, not fed well, always you will find either one eye, or he's limping, or he's struggling to make a living, but he's the muadhin of the masjid. So when this person was about to give adhan, mockingly, this TV crew said, let us also put him into the assignment. And they set up the camera in front of this muadhin. And the muadhin stood up and he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. There is nothing on the universe greater and more powerful than Allah Rabbul Izzah. The moment he said Allahu Akbar, the director of the TV crew immediately closed and shut the cameras, and immediately he recited Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah on the hands of that muadhin. And he refused to go back to Britain, and he said that you continue, you can have all the equipment. After many months, when they returned, they thought, let us go and meet the boss, the director. And when they met him, they interviewed him. He said, Wallah, there is nothing in my life that I want. I only want to be in seclusion where I can take Allah Rabbul Izzat's name. The heart is clean, the mind is clean. So what happens? The moment the Kalamullah touches that heart, it manifests through the eyes, through the ears, through the tongue, through the limbs. Allah said in the Holy Quran, Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. This is how unique, how powerful is the Quran. Allah said, undoubtedly, this Kalamullah, this Quran of mine, it will guide man to a path that we term as aqwam. In Arabic, what is aqwam? It is a path that you follow with ease, without any difficulty. And there will be success for you by following that path in this dunya and in the akhirah. This is how unique is the Quran. No man, no jinn, no nation on the earth could ever oppose the Quran. يَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا Allah said. Through the virtue of this Quran, Allah gives people hidayah, and through the very same Quran, He leads people astray. Through this Quran, Allah elevates people, and through the very same Quran, Allah destroys and disgraces people. How is this done? Is the action of insan, is his concept towards the Quran. The Khalifa Mamun, in his time, he was the Khalifa of the Muslim world in Baghdad, and he had a habit that every year he would call up a conference, he would invite people from different school of thoughts, Christians, Jews, and he would sit down with them and they would debate. This particular year, while this conference was taking place, his eyes fell upon a young boy, very well dressed, and this boy looked like a Jew. So after the conference, he called this boy and he said to him, tell me something, are you a Yahud? Are you a Jew? He said, yes. So, in the back of his mind, he thought that he'll invite this person toward Islam. If he accepts Islam, then from the Mal, from Baitul Mal, he would support and assist this boy. So he said to him, if you accept Islam, then I will help you, I will set up a home for you, I will give you allowance, I will assist you to get married. The boy replied that I prefer rather to be on the deen of my forefathers. And in this manner, he bade farewell and he left. The following year, in another conference, his eyes fell on this boy, but this time he had the Islamic libas on. After the conference, he called this boy and he said, tell me, are you not the very same Yahud? The same Jew that attended the conference last year? He said, yes, but I see now that you are Muslim. He said, yes, I became Muslim. He said, but why didn't you accept Islam then? Now pay attention to this, youth, children. He said, when I went back home, I did some research on different religions. My profession, I'm a scribe. So I make money by writing, calligraphy. So he said that, I said, let me put to test the three biggest religions, Christianity, Jews, and Muslims. So I took the Bible and I wrote certain verses of the Bible. I added and I subtracted some of the verses, but I wrote it very beautiful. And I prepared these frames and I went to the high priest and I presented my work. He looked at it very impressed. And he said, in all the churches I want you to place this type of work. And he wrote and he placed it in all the churches. Thereafter I decided, let me go to the Jews. And I prepared the work for many a days. Beautiful script from the Torah. I presented to the Jewish priests. They looked at it, they were very impressed, and they said, every synagogue in the town should have this. The final task was to test the Muslims. So I took gold, and I made the frame of gold and silver, and I prepared. I moved the harakah here, I add on a harakah there, I placed the dot here and I added. And I went to the mufti of the time, and I presented my work after many months. Picked up the script, he looked at it, and he said, please do me a favor, never ever come back to us again. He said, why? He said, the dot is changed here, the haraka is changed. I went home and I said, Allah, it is impossible that a deen as such, the religion as such, the kalam of Allah can be wrong. And I recited the kalima, la ilaha illallah. But I say to you and I say to me, is there any difference in the haraka? Many years ago, a person in Pakistan was on journey, he was traveling. He was a Hafiz al-Quran, he was looking for jobs, so he left the village and he decided to go to one of the big cities. As he passed by one village, he saw there was a little commotion, people were standing, not knowing what to do, so he inquired, is there a problem? They said, yes, somebody passed away here, none of us know how to bury. He said, not a problem, I will help, I will assist you. Gave the coffin, the dafan, and he buried the person. And he continued. When he got to the big city, he realized that the documents it had fell into the qabr. So he got back and he seeked permission from the ulama. Said, yes, open up the qabr. And when he opened the qabr, the entire qabr was filled with flowers, fresh flowers. And there was beautiful fragrance coming from these flowers. So he asked, what should he do? They said, open up the flowers, and eventually he got his documents and he left. But before he left, he became inquisitive. He said, when I buried this person, there was no flowers, there was absolutely nothing. They went to the parents and they asked the parents. The mother said, there is nothing that my son in his life did. He was not educated because we were villagers. But there was one thing every day he would do. What was this? He would open the glorious Quran. He could not recite the Quran. But that muhabba, that love for the Quran was so unique, he would take his fingers, by way of example. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, alif la mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi, and he would stop. But he wouldn't read, he would run his fingers across. And wherever he stops, he said, Allah, I take a qasam on your name, from that point to this point, whatever you said, it is haq. This is how unique, how blessed, how sacred is the glorious Quran. I say to myself and I say to you, today is Yawmul Jummah. Be honest with us. How many of us recited Surah Yasin? How many of us recited Surah Kahf? How many of us opened the tilawat of Quran? Now don't forget, the Quran is unique in every aspect. Now look at how compassionate, how much mercy and rahmah Allah have for this ummah. Allah knew that my servants, my banda, would love to see me. They would love to speak to me. They would love to touch me. The usul and principle is what? When you love somebody, you love to speak to your beloved, you would love to sit in the company of your beloved, you would love to touch your beloved, you would like to hear the voice of your beloved, is that correct? And Allah knew that my servants on the dunya would wish and desire that, but that is impossible. So therefore, Allah bestowed us and blessed us with Kalamullah. Why? When you open Kalamullah, you would see my sifat, my qualities. When you read the Quran, Hasan Basri said, that if anybody wants to speak to Allah, يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. What must you do? Open the Quran and read the Quran. And when you read the Quran, immediately Allah is listening to you. It is my kalam, it is my speech. You see the sifat and the qualities in the Quran. Therefore, whenever people read Quran, what do you find? The natural and inherent quality of a mu'min. Some of us cry, some of us smile, some of us sob, some of us embrace the Quran, some of us kiss the Quran, some of us bring the Quran to our eyes. What is that? that is nothing but the manifestation of the deep muhabbat which Allah Rabbul Izzat placed in the heart of a mu'min. So therefore, whenever you read the Quran, embrace the Quran, kiss the Quran, bring the Quran closer to you. 3 minutes left. And in the 3 minutes, one short advice and nasiha before we conclude. What did we say? The heart and the mind must be clean. Our mashayikh said, إِذَا جَبَدَتِ الْأُيُونَ فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْجُمُودُ الْأُيُونَ مِنْ قَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَقَصْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ وَكَثْرَةُ الذُّنُوبِ مِنْ نِسْيَانِ الْمَوْتِ ونسيان الموت من طول العمل وطول العمل من شدة الحرص وشدة الحرص من حب الدنيا وحب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. What does this mean? They say when the tears start drying up in the heart of a mu'min, when we cannot cry any longer, what is that? It is a sign of the hardness of the heart. When I cannot cry when I'm reading the kalam of Allah, there are no more tears left. Bear in mind, it is the hardness of the heart. Why does the heart become hard? Min kathrati dhunub is the excessive indulgence of sin. When my eyes engage in sin, my ears engage in sin, my tongue engage in sin, the tears start drying up in the heart. What causes the heart to become hard? Tulul amal. The lengthy desires and targets that I set in life. In 2012, this is what I want to do. 2013, what we say in Arabic? Tulul amal. That lengthy desires that I set in life. Why do men set up these desires? Shiddatul hirs is the excessive greed for dunya. Don't forget, these are the things that block the arteries of the nur penetrating the heart. When the heart is affected, the eyes will be affected, the ears will be affected, the tongue and the limbs will be affected. And why is the shiddatul hirs? Why is the excessive greed for dunya? The Holy Prophet said, "Hubbu dunya, the love for dunya. Hubbu dunya, ra'asu kullu khati'atin." The love for dunya is the root cause of all our problems. If we can remove that muhabba from the heart of dunya and replace it with the muhabba of Allah, then inshallah, you will find there will be a change in the eyes, the ears, the tongue and the mind. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And inshallah, when we meet again, we will continue from here. Jazakumullah.